The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome today. We're glad that you've joined us today for this service. And I want to start today by telling you a story, just a true story, actually, that happened to me when I was in college between my second and third years of college. During that summer, I went up to Prince George to work and worked in a Christian camp and a bunch of other kids, and we spent the whole summer at that camp up in Prince George. I was a counselor, and each week we had a different group of kids come in, and you know, there was one week where I had a cabin full of 9 and 10-year-old boys that were absolutely out of control. Couldn't control them, didn't know how to handle them, and came up with an idea. One night I thought, you know, when they come in for the night, I'm going to take them out on a bear hunt. And so they came in and they thought they were going to bed. And I said, hey, guys, we're going on a bear hunt tonight. Now, you got to understand out in Prince George, at night, it is so dark. If you don't have a flashlight, you'll walk into a tree before you even know it. I mean, it is dark as dark can be. These guys were all pumped. We're going to go on a bear hunt. And I took them out. I was leading the pack with my flashlight. We went to a trail and they were just so excited. And we're going down this trail. What they didn't know was this, that I had arranged with a bunch of other guys, counselors, workers at the camp, to be hiding in the woods on the trail. And at a certain point, they would jump out and they'd scare these guys crazy. And I thought I'd have no problem with them for the rest of the week. We got to that point where the other guys were supposed to jump out and nothing happened. I thought, this is crazy. But so we kept walking and we kept going along this trail and we turned a corner. And everything changed. In my flashlight, right in the trail in front of me, was a bear, a black bear. These kids freaked out. I mean, they ran back full speed, yelling. And for whatever reason, the guys that didn't jump out the first time jumped out the second time at that point. And these kids, they just scattered into the woods. They were panic-struck. They were shaken. It took us a while to find them all. And I think we got 9 out of 10 of them back. Took them back to the cabin and, you know, I didn't have another problem with them for the rest of the week. It was incredible. I thought about that this week. You know why? Because in our world, we've turned a corner and everything's changed. And we are shaken to the core of our beings. Today, the world is shaking. A virus smaller than a piece of dust has brought the world to its knees. And so we find ourselves today isolated from each other, alone, on our own. We find ourselves maybe out of work, masses of people out of work, homeless people without shelter, children without food. The whole world has changed. And I think today when we think about that, we recognize that there's nothing in our world that's not shaking. Our health systems are shaking. Our economies are shaking. The foundations maybe that we've been trying to build our lives on, they're shaken. Maybe today your own heart is shaking. And the question is there a foundation that's unshakable that we can build our lives on? I think there is. And I'd like to suggest to you today that foundation is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I want to tell you a little bit about him. If you ask the question, well, who is Jesus? The answer, best answer that we could give you from the Bible is Jesus is God. He's God who's come in flesh and blood. I love one way it's stated in the Bible. Talking about Jesus, it says he became flesh and blood and he moved into the neighborhood. Moved into the neighborhood. Jesus is God with skin on. He's God with a face. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. It's incredible when you think about it how many ideas there are out there about God. Like, who is God? If you start with the generic term God and try and figure out who God is, you'll always be confused because you'll end up with your ideas about God. But if you start with Jesus, you'll never be confused. If you start with Jesus, you'll always end up with God's idea about God. Jesus is God in the flesh. God come with skin on. If you want to know what God is like, you always look at Jesus. What I'd like to do these next 3 weeks with you is look at just just three astonishing claims that Jesus made about himself. Just three claims Jesus made about himself that are really quite extraordinary. And I think when you put them all together, they help us unpack why Jesus matters. And so we're going to talk about that over the next 3 weeks. First claim that I want to look at with you today, and I call it an astonishing claim because it really is Jesus' claim in a book in the New Testament called John, where he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, Jesus said, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I want to tell you a little bit about the setting to that great claim that Jesus made. It happened in the temple in Jerusalem. And it was the first day of one of the great Jewish festivals where hundreds, maybe thousands of people would gather. And it was the first day of the festival and the first evening of the festival, they had a ceremony called the illumination of the temple. And what would happen was there would be spectators everywhere in this great courtyard of the temple. And there were four massive candelabras in the temple. And they would be lit. And the light would be so bright, so brilliant, that it would fill the whole courtyard, but also all the courtyards of all the people with homes around the temple. And people would sing, and they would literally dance the night away in the light of that great those great torches. But inevitably, towards the end of the night, towards morning, the torches would flicker out, and darkness would come back, and the singing and the dancing would end. And it's about that point that Jesus stood up and said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." It was almost as though Jesus was saying this: "You've seen the blaze of these great lights piercing the darkness of the night. I'm the light of the world, and for anyone who follows me, there'll be light, not just for one night, but for your whole life. The light in the temple is a bright light, but in the end, it flickers out. I am the light that lasts forever." That, I think, was the great statement that Jesus was making. It's an astonishing statement, really. And I thought what I'd like to do, if you just give me a few minutes, what I'd like to do is just try and let Jesus speak for himself. Try and let Jesus tell us what he meant by that statement, "I am the light of the world." You have two things there. You have this great astonishing statement we'll look at, but then you also have his life-changing invitation or life-changing offer. And I want to look at both parts of that for a few minutes with you today. So let's first of all look at the astonishing claim that Jesus made: "I am the light of the world." I think the clear implication of that is the world is a very dark place. In fact, Jesus describes people who don't know him as people walking in darkness, just walking around in darkness. That phrase literally makes me shudder, walking around in darkness. It suggests the picture of people grasping for direction, tripping over obstacles they cannot see. It suggests aimlessness, confusion, and fear. And maybe that's where you're at today. Maybe you feel like you're walking in darkness. There's kind of an aloneness about it, a fear, an isolation, not knowing what obstacle is going to come up next to trip you. Well, that's what Jesus meant when he said people are walking around in darkness. The world is a dark place. The world is filled with moral and spiritual darkness. And the tragic news is it's a darkness that leads to death. It's a darkness that leads to death. So what does Jesus mean when he says, "I am the light of this dark world"? What does he mean? I want to suggest that he probably means three things by it, and I'll take them one at a time. I think what he means when he says, "I'm the light of the world," is first, "I'm the light of life." I think he means, "I am the light of life." What's the connection between life and light? The account that I told you about from the temple and Jesus' statement is from the book of John in the New Testament. In chapter 1 of that book, you have another statement about Jesus. It says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of everyone." Jesus is saying that his light gives life. In other words, his light is a light that leads to life, not death. Jesus' light is a light that leads to life, not death. Just as we need light for life, so you cannot have life without Jesus Christ. And I think the deepest longing of every human being is for life. It's to live. We want to live life to the fullest, authentically, abundantly, over the top. We want to get everything out of it we possibly can. Well, Jesus says that he gives real life, authentic, real life to the full. But here's the incredible thing. It's a life that lasts forever. A life that lasts forever. When I was thinking about that, I was reminded of the most famous verse in the Bible. Perhaps you've been to a football game, or you watch a football game and you see some guy in the end zone with a cardboard sign up and it says John 3:16 on it. That's the most famous verse in the Bible. You know what it means? Or says rather? It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should never perish, but have," and here it is, "eternal or everlasting life," or life that lasts forever. Jesus gives life that never ends. Here's the reality, folks. We are walking dead people without Jesus. We walk around in darkness, and it's like we're walking dead people. There's a place in the Bible where it actually says that before we experience or receive the light and life of Jesus, that we are dead in transgressions and sins. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. You know, many people that heard him that day say, "I'm the light of the world." They were Jewish people that would be familiar with the Jewish scriptures. And they would probably all be reminded of the very first page of the Old Testament Torah, the Old Testament Jewish scripture, and it's actually the first page in our Christian Bible. They'd be reminded of this. Let me read you the first couple of words that you find at the beginning of the Bible, and I think they would be reminded of this when Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world." The very beginning of the Bible, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw that the light was good." At the very beginning of the Bible, you have a picture of pre-creation, if you could put it that way, in a state of formlessness and emptiness and darkness. Then God comes on the scene and says, "Let there be light." And what happens? What happens is the formless becomes formed. The darkness is pushed back on its heels, and what was empty becomes filled with light. Now, when Jesus comes in the New Testament, that day at the temple, says, "I'm the light of the world," what he means is this: for anybody that receives him, chooses to follow him, the formlessness of their life begins to become formed. In other words, you know, sometimes we don't know who we are, where we've come from, or where we're going, and we just feels like we're just random. When the light of Jesus comes into a life, he begins to shape us and make us into the people he created us to be. And formless people become formed and become useful and purposeful and experience life to the full. When the light of Jesus comes, the darkness in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds is pushed back on its heels. When the light of Jesus comes, the emptiness on the inside, it is filled. And it's an emptiness that we can't fill any other way. He is the light of the world. And the first thing that means is that he's the light of life, or the light that leads to life. Here's the second thing. He is the light of truth. He's the light of truth. The living God actually is the source of all truth. And in his presence, in his light, we see clearly what's true. Here's the first thing you see in the light of his light. You see our predicament very clearly. You see the problem that we have in no uncertain terms. Our problem is actually greater than a virus. Our problem is greater than a shaken economy. Our problem is actually greater than self-isolation. The Bible says, and Jesus will speak this into your heart when his light comes into your life, is that there's a thing that's got a grip on us, and we cannot get free of us free of it. And that's our biggest problem. And what's got a grip on us is sin and evil and death. And we cannot get free of that. In fact, our fear of death just sometimes captivates our hearts and we can't get rid of it. We're held hostage by the power of evil. That's our real predicament. And Jesus Christ will tell us the truth, that we're held hostage by evil, sin, and death, and we can't get free of the grip of it. He'll also tell us the truth about himself, that he's the Savior of the world. He's the one person that can free people from sin and evil and death. That's in fact why he came. That's why he became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. It was so he could free us from our fear of death, free us from evil, and free us from sin. That's why he came. How is he going to do that? Well, as his story plays out, it becomes very clear that he came different than us. We want to live. He came to die. He came to die. There's a point in time in Jesus' life where he dies on a Roman cross, and it's not his own death really that he's dying. He's dying for you and he's dying for me. And my sin and my evil and all my deadness is God places on Jesus. He dies as a sacrifice and a substitute in my place. The incredible news, and we'll think about this in 2 weeks, is that 3 days later, God raised Jesus from the dead, and today he lives. He's the only one that tells us the truth about ourselves and the truth about him. But also, I think it's fair to say at this point, when we think about the light of truth, that he also shines a light on our path so that he can guide us and show us the right way to live. His path always leads to life. There's a place where it says, Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And it becomes very clear when Jesus Christ comes into your life that his light gives guidance and direction and purpose to life. But I got to tell you this. Not easy to come into the light. Not always easy to come into the light. You ever been in a movie theater where it's dark, you've been in there for a couple hours, and you walk out into the sunlight, and it's actually hard on the eyes. You know, to come into Jesus' light sometimes hurts because we see things about ourselves that have to change. We see sin in our lives that isn't good, and that hurts. But it's a hurt that's good because when we can admit that and acknowledge it, Jesus Christ can take it away. He is the light of life. He's the light of truth. But I like to put it this way too. He is also the light of hope, the light of hope. The best, we often say, is yet to come. One day, the whole world will be filled completely with the light of Jesus. But in the meantime, we all walk through valleys of darkness, sometimes valleys of depression or despair, sickness, betrayal, and even physical death. But the good news is this, you're never, ever alone when you have Jesus Christ, the light of the world, with you. You have a guide. You have a presence, a person to personally take you through the darkest valleys of life. His light is a light of life, truth, but also a light of hope. Now that's his astonishing claim. If I could just take a minute and flip it a little bit and take you to the backside of his statement, which is his life-changing offer or invitation. Let me just read you that quote again from Jesus. I'm the light of the world. He who follows me, or she who follows me, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's the offer. If you follow him, you will never walk in darkness, but you will have the light of life. It's an amazing offer, really, when you think about it. It is both inclusive and exclusive. Inclusive this way. He says, whoever, anybody, from Canada, from America, from Africa, from Australia, from New Zealand, from wherever, whoever wants to follow him from any corner of the earth will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. But it's also exclusive because it's following Jesus. That's who it is. That verse I began to quote a few minutes ago from Jesus, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It is both inclusive, open to anybody, but exclusive. Life and light and the way to God the Father is through Jesus Christ. But it's an amazing offer because it's open to anybody. Nobody ever need despair. You never need to walk in darkness when you have Jesus Christ in your life. So that's, if I could put it this way, the first reason Jesus matters. Our little series is called Unshakable, Why Jesus Matters. Why does Jesus matter? Jesus matters because without him, we walk around in darkness. Without him, we live in a world that's shaking with fear, with no hope, with aloneness, not knowing where to turn or what to do or how to secure our lives. With Jesus, we have light that leads to life. We have guidance. We have direction. We have his personal presence no matter what we ever face. That's the first reason Jesus matters, because without him, we walk around in darkness. So how then does anybody begin to follow Jesus? If the offer is whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, how do you engage with Jesus? How do you begin to follow him? Let me make three suggestions to you. One, you got to make up your mind about Jesus. You got to make up your mind about Jesus. I've suggested to you that from the Bible, we learn that Jesus is God in the flesh. God moving into the neighborhood. God with a face. God with skin on. Is that true or not? You hear his first astonishing claim. I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You have to make up your mind about Jesus. Is he who he says he is or not? One of the writers that I enjoy reading, an Englishman from another time, C.S. Lewis, said this about Jesus. He said, he's either a liar or he's a lunatic or he's who he said he was. That's a great statement. And think about this. If he's a liar, he was willing to go to death on a Roman cross, the most brutal kind of death, for lies. You'd think he would have bailed out at the last minute. If he was a lunatic, he had a lot of people that followed him, 12 people originally, but now half the world follows Jesus. Like, who would follow a lunatic for all these centuries? Is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or is he who he says he is? That's the first thing you got to do, is make up your mind about Jesus. Second thing you have to do is just, I guess I could put it this way, just admit your darkness. Just admit your darkness. You walk around in darkness. You have no light. It's the darkness of evil and sin and deadness, death. Just admit that to him. And then thirdly, take your life as it is. Don't try and clean it up, fix it up, and just place it in his hands. Remember I told you that he was crucified on a Roman cross, but then he was raised from the dead. That means he's alive today. That means his ears are open to hear your prayer. Prayer is just, your heart talking to God. Don't try and make it fancy. Don't try and come with great words. Just come like you are and let your heart talk to him. Tell him that you're walking around in darkness. Tell him you're afraid. Tell him that you screwed your life up. Tell him that you made a mess of everything. Just tell him the way it is. Maybe tell him that, you know, you don't think you've done too bad in life, but somehow you're empty. Just tell it like it is to Jesus. And just tell him you would like to place your life in his hands. He'll take you at your word. He'll take you as seriously as you take him. Sometimes people like to begin that relationship with prayer, as I said. And sometimes we don't even know what to say. And I think what I'd like to do, if I could with you just for a moment, is just pray a brief prayer. And I'm going to pray it. And if it expresses what's in your heart, why don't you pray it? And if it's what you really mean, God who hears prayer will hear your prayer. And this could be the first day of the rest of your life following Jesus. I guarantee you it'll never be the same. Jesus is either who he says he is or he's not. And when he says, I'm the light, whoever follows me won't walk in darkness, that means you. And that means me, because I've chosen to follow him. So let me pray a prayer. I'll just pray this little prayer. If it expresses what's in your heart, you pray it. And then our worship team will come up. We'll worship the Lord again. And I'll come back up and say a few words at the end. And we'll begin together this wonderful series called Unshakable. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you said you are the light of the world. And I never maybe heard these kind of things before, but I'm walking in darkness. I don't know where I'm going, and I don't know what's happening. And I pray that you would hear my prayer today. I pray that you would take my darkness, whatever it is, evil, sin, deadness, emptiness, you'd take it away. And that you'd come into my life and do what you said you would do, and that is give me light and life. I pray that you would give me an unshakable foundation to build my life on in a very shaken world. And so, Lord Jesus, best as I can, I give you my life, my heart, and I'm going to begin to learn what it means to follow you one day at a time. And we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.